Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. We are back with the final book in Sarah Sundin's Sunrise at Normandy series, but first, a few announcements. You are invited to our next Coffee and Books event on August 17th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Meet authors Misty M. Beller and Jody Basie and enjoy a fun Q&A session with them. This is a free event, but you will need to register to save your spot. There is a link to register in the blog post for this episode, or you can visit literaryescape.com/events to register today. I am participating in two ebook giveaways in the month of August. All books are historical romance, but not all are Christian romance, so keep that in mind as you peruse the titles. Links to each of these giveaways are listed in the blog post for this episode, and if you are a newsletter subscriber, those links are in there for you as well. Happy and blessed reading! If you are an author of historical Christian romance, then I encourage you to connect with authors in your genre through HCRW. HCRW is our writers group for historical Christian romance authors. We offer community, connection, critiquing, and training. Memberships start at just $3 a month. Visit literaryescape.com/HCRW to learn more. And authors, September's expert training will focus on how to write a book proposal. Our expert trainer will be Terry Whalen. Join us on September 19th from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as he walks you through how to write a book proposal that sells. The cost is $17, and this training is free for our HCRW editing members. If you want to write a book proposal that will catch the eye of an agent and acquisitions editor, then be sure to join us for an hour of training. You can learn more and register at literaryescape.com/events. All right, that's it for announcements. Enjoy our discussion of The Land Beneath Us by Sarah Sundin. In the midst of a global war, two forsaken souls search for personal peace. In 1943, Private Clay Paxton trains hard with the U.S. Army Rangers at Camp Forest, Tennessee, determined to do his best in the upcoming Allied invasion of France. With his future stolen by his brother's betrayal, Clay has only one thing to live for, fulfilling the reoccurring dream of his death. Leah Jones works as a librarian at Camp Forest, longing to rise above her orphanage upbringing and belong to the community, even as she uses her spare time to search for her real family, the baby sisters she was separated from so long ago. After Clay saves Leah's life from a brutal attack, he saves her virtue with a marriage of convenience. When he ships out to the train in England for D-Day, their letters bind them together over the distance. But can a love strong enough to overcome death grow between them before Clay's reoccurring dream comes true? This was so good.
I know.
Because we finally get everything wrapped up and we finally get to see all aspects of what set them off. I'm going to do a spoiler alert again. We'll try to talk around things, but some things are just going to get said. So yeah. If you haven't read the book, you may want to stop and go read it. It's totally worth reading. Very good. All right. Now, the attack on Leah happens right away in the story. Mm-hmm. So did it happen the way you thought it would? We know it's, when you read the back, you know that she's going to be attacked. But did it happen the way you thought it was going to? I mean, did anything surprise you? How did you react to that whole scene? I will say this. I knew it was coming because of the blurb on the back, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen the way I thought. I thought, like, Clay would come in and, like, in time to stop the assault is what I pictured in my mind. Mm-hmm. Not save her from being murdered.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That was... I just didn't see that coming at all.
Mm-mm.
It was very well written, though. I mean, I like how it all played out, but typically what we like to do is the hero comes in before the woman ever gets truly assaulted.
Yeah.
And the fact that he almost didn't even go in, like, she would have right. just been,
she would have been murdered.
She'd been murdered. Yes.
Yeah. Just awful. Let me see what Jamie's thoughts were. Sorry. You ladies have thoughts on that.
No, I didn't read the back of the book, so I didn't know that was coming. And I was like, oh my gosh, this yeah. poor girl. Like, but then I was very grateful for Clay stepping in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just felt bad for him. It's like anything he loves
gets hurt. Yeah, you're right. But of course, his first girlfriend never actually loved him in the first. He really got spared.
And he really didn't love Leah at this point, but like you could tell you're that right. there was going to be a bond there.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Jamie just said she's totally shocked by it too, mm-hmm. how it played out. And she was hoping that Clay was going to catch the guy, but he was busy saving her life.
Yeah.
So Clay, throughout the whole story, at least until the end, Clay stifles this urge to heal. It's like within him. He knows all this medical stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. He's trying to hide it from his team. Mm-hmm. His commanders are always like, are you sure you don't want to be a medic? Are you sure we can't put, you know, all this? It's something, you know, he struggles with throughout the book. And we know this is because of his dream of becoming a doctor was like ripped away from him. And then it's also because of his reoccurring dream. And so what were your thoughts on the struggle and the dreams?
The dream kind of drove me crazy, kind of like how his parents did. Like, why are you going into the army just to die? I didn't understand that.
And he had a total peace about it.
Well, yeah.
I'm okay.
But I do think it helped shape him in some of the decisions he made with Leah. Like, but,
yeah.
And it hurt my heart that he kept withholding that urge to heal people. Because I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. In his dream, didn't he keep saying, like, this is, like, just God's way of taking me home and out of this pit I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said that more than once, I thought, through it.
It's almost like the dream is his way of...
escaping, maybe?
Escaping the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Of everything that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I hate that he kept denying. That just drove me nuts. I'm like, just be a healer. His dream is intense. I kind of explained that, and I wasn't quite sure how to process it at first until it plays out. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, okay. Okay, it makes sense. It actually reminded me of a reoccurring dream I used to have when I was a kid.
Really?
Probably into my 20s. It's the same thing every time, is that I would be like home alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it was the same guy every time. It was like, he was like an ex-con, and I had apparently in my dream been a witness against him. He got out, he came to the house, and I could never, ever get the door shut and locked in time. And then I would run down to the basement, out the basement door, and I'd be running through the woods, and every time I would trip and fall, and when I would turn, like roll over, he would have the gun pointed at my head. And every time I woke up when he pulled the trigger. Every time. I can't even tell you how many times I had that dream.
Oh, that's...
Isn't that crazy?
That's so terrible, child. So I didn't need to hear that.
Well, I'm just saying, oh, yeah. Like, I was, you know,
I was like a teenager. It was all the scary movies we did.
I don't know.
What was that scary movie we watched, Tiff? Because I know when we went and watched Scream, I was like, I had nightmares for like 2 weeks.
Me too. I can't watch scary movies anymore.
It's like the cheesiest movie now, but at the time I was like,
I still can't watch scary movies.
I don't do them either.
No. I don't know where that came from. All right, so at one point, Leah is reminding herself that the Lord has been with her, had been with her, and would continue to be with her. She's has this really strong faith in God and is always focusing on the positives and the blessings, which is different from most of society today. I feel like we've always focused on the negative and what's wrong. But she didn't. She had every right to play the victim role because she was the victim, but she did. She chose not to. So how did her faith and disposition affect you or inspire you? I thought she was a
very inspiring, very inspiring.
Didn't you think she was just very inspirational? And I think
sometimes I'm like, how can you be so inspirational? Like with everything that happened, but she did. She always had a positive.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Because she was orphaned at a young age, and then she was separated from her twin sisters, and then she got sent back to the orphanage because the family that did adopt her was cruel to her to begin with, and then they were like pretty much done with her, so they sent her to another orphanage, and then this assault happens, and she's almost murdered, and yet she's still like, God, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, well, I wish I could be more like her. I've not faced anything. Like my life has been like a fairy tale compared to hers.
Yeah. It's hard to know how you would react in her place because none of us sitting here have been even anywhere close to anything like what she's been through.
Yeah. And the fact that she can go through all that and be
and
this
still
happy
be
person.
Positive and yeah,
which helps Clay too.
Yeah, it does. It helps Clay too.
Yeah. So, what did you think about all the letters that they wrote each other?
I like the letters. They were sweet. Mm-hmm. I think it's how they fell in love.
I still have all the letters that Derek and I used to write each other.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does he have yours?
Yeah, he kept all mine too. Yeah. And those are fun for like your kids and grandkids to go through and read and just kind of see how they, of course I know this is a made up story, but there were, I assume there's a lot of letters like this. There's one lady in my writing group who wrote an amazing novel based off letters that were sent back and forth between a husband and wife that's connected to her family. So I thought they were interesting. My favorites are when he started using his little endearments for her, my wife. I love my sweet and loving wife. And he had all these different little endearments. I loved it. I also loved how, you know, they staged it so it looked like it was his baby.
Yes.
You know, and I loved how he got the, he did the big thing. I'm going to be a daddy. You know, and got all excited and everything. Yeah. But that he truly was starting to get excited at that point. Right. So I thought that was sweet. All right. Now, the letter from Clay's father, where he tells them that he and their mother would be running to meet the boys when they came home and they would smell the fatted calf barbecuing. So it's referring to the prodigal son story in the Bible. How did you react to this, and what were your thoughts on the brother's parents?
They're just sweet parents. Like, I don't know how they dealt with what they dealt with.
Yeah.
With the grace that they do. They remind me of my parents because they just, and your parents.
Yeah.
they accept their kids who they are, let them face their trials, and there's always a place to come home to. So,
yeah, mom and dad tell us that all the time.
Yeah,
always come back home. Yeah, which is what they did. Jamie said, "I really like the Paxton parents. I understand how they would be so happy to have their family whole again. That's what they were longing for." And I can see how it would hurt Clay, but it was very obvious parallel, and I'm glad it led to him to the story of the prodigal son, because I think it was hard for him to realize that he was the son that was home. In the when he looks at that story, like, oh, yeah. I'm the jealous son at home.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, nobody wants to be that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved the parallels. She did a lot of parallels. Like,
yeah, I did too. I thought that was good.
What did I put? I put they were amazing parents because they grieved for each of their children, but they probably grieved the most because they lost their family in one 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
Their family was demolished, and yet mm-hmm. they never lost hope that God would restore them.
Mm-hmm.
And the letters, like in the other books, their letters to all their sons were just so full of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a real reflection. They really reflected God yes. in the way they parented.
Mm-hmm.
Always made me cry, though. All right. And then Clay turns around and thanks God for what his brothers did. He eventually gets to that point because it led him to Leah. And this is actually a theme throughout this series, I think, with each of the boys, that they must learn to forgive and thank God for the trials because it led them to where they should be and who they should be with.
Mm-hmm.
So can you relate to each of them in these moments? I said yes, because
mm-hmm.
their trials are never fun, and sometimes we make it worse with our own bad decisions. However, I'm amazed that God always finds a way to work it out for our good and his glory, which I thought that's kind of what she was trying to get across.
Yeah,
you think? Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like Jamie, because she pointed out there was a letter from Leah that she thought was perfect, the way she explains he is the key and how forgiveness for his brothers does not diminish what his family felt for him or how the situation was wrong, just that he was the key and needed to forgive for himself as much as for the family. And she yeah. said, I love the realization that he was cast into the pit unfairly, but look at what had happened because of it. So, 'cause I think my next... one of my questions we talk about is the fact that his life kind of parallels Joseph's
yeah.
life.
Yes.
You know, because really, his brothers didn't purposely throw him in the pit like Joseph's brothers did, but they did.
Yeah.
And he had to climb out of it. Well, God had to pull him up out of it, but a lot of good came from it. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Leah's back there on her own, and she has to fight to be part of the community after Clay leaves. And there are many incidences or incidents where she's mistreated. So how did you react to these events?
They upset me.
Yeah.
I mean, people can be so cruel and judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they kind of get on their high and mighty, their high horse, that what you want to call
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Especially a few of those ladies, like, well, we are.
They're like just offended over the silliest things, I think.
Yes.
You know, I'm like.
That's a good way to put it. It is silly.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're not putting, I think Leah always had the good intentions and good heart, whereas they were more focused on image and
mm-hmm.
the silly foo-foo stuff.
I almost want to say, like, the old school society, like, these were the, what, monarchs of the society.
Yeah, these were the upper crust,
yes,
and this was the...
And you're right, we don't do those kinds of things.
So we're offended that you even think this.
Why would you think? Yes.
Yeah.
Living life offended, don't we deal with that every day?
Mm-hmm.
Drives me nuts. I'm like, could you just not be offended by just
me
one
breathing?
Thing? Can you go a whole day without being offended?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can we think positive for a whole day?
A whole day.
Just good thoughts. Only good thoughts.
Sorry. Everybody be like Leah for one day and then tell me how much better you feel at the end of that day.
Right?
I just think how, especially like when I think about these ladies, like you have to be miserable all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I would think.
I would. This is such a depressing.
I know, they're trying.
So depressing to be like negative Nancy's all the time.
Well, they're trying to live to this standard that puts them above everybody else, mm-hmm. like they're not even human. You know, well, I just, heaven forbid if anybody saw me like that.
Yeah.
You did that really good.
You did. I like it, Mom. Way to go.
Bless your heart.
Oh. What's really sad is that's how it really was years ago. Really. Yeah. It's so sad.
People weren't real.
Yeah, they weren't
real.
But
you can also go too far. And I think that's where we've landed.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Before it was like, oh, you just can't possibly let anybody know you're not perfect, right?
Yeah.
So now it's like, all my dirty laundry's out for everybody to see, and I don't really care what you think about it.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's just too...
It's too...
You fall in the middle.
Right, I agree.
You still need to have a moral standard.
Yes.
That's the thing. You still need to have a moral standard. What I say, everybody just needs Jesus. All right. Now, this was very interesting, the way she revealed who the wolf is. Okay. And when you read the book, you understand what we say when we say who the wolf is. Did you figure this out before it was revealed? And then what did you think about what Clay said to him before he left him?
I figured it out when Leah said she smelled him that time they passed in passing.
Oh,
that's when I knew who it was. But the way Clay figured it out was interesting to me, and I liked what he said. I mean, you're gone.
Yeah, I figured it out too. I think she left enough hints, don't you think, on that one too?
Yeah.
But let me just pull it out so people know what he says. But I loved it. It says, Clay tore open a field dressing, applied it to the wound, and clamped Lion's hand over it. Press on this hard. It'll buy you a minute to pray. Pray God will forgive you, because you're going to meet him mighty soon. Mm-hmm. And then Lion's lip curled. You're not going to try to save my life? It was not even Doc Block could do that, and I've got a road to block. Clay unbuckled Lion's cartridge belt. The Rangers could use the extra bar ammo, and he didn't want to leave the grenades with Lion's. A bloody hand clamped around Clay's forearm. That dame in the library, her kid's mine. Clay found himself smiling. Nope, she's all mine. Your name dies with you today. I love it. Oh, and then he broke free and took the guy's ammo. And then he gave the dying ranger one last look. He says, by the way, she forgave you, and so do I. Didn't
it.
You like that?
Yeah, I did.
Loved it. I just loved it. But and I loved how he claimed her.
Yes.
He claimed Leah, and he claimed
the child.
Their daughter.
Yeah.
I loved, too, how his parents came in and were just like...
Yes.
You're our daughter. She's our granddaughter. They were just so loving. But, of course, knowing them, I mean...
Well, I won't say it. It'll spoil it. Never mind. I won't say anything.
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I already said there were spoilers.
The way that his mom reacted after Leah told her the truth...
Yeah.
...that it wasn't really his daughter. Mm-hmm. And then his mom tells, you know, well, Wyatt and Adler... were already here when I married their dad, but yet they're my sons, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and she is their mom.
Yeah, and she said it's, you know, mm-hmm. like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she didn't choose what happened to her either.
No.
So.
And you know, the parent, I mean, didn't hold that against her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was another storyline. You know, Leah's searching for her two sisters, mm-hmm. and she finally finds them, but she can't meet them. What did you think about that storyline and kind of like how it wrapped up?
My heart broke for Leah. I can understand the other mom's perspective, but it also hurt. Like, and to see them so well adjusted, and it was hard because you knew what the struggles that Leah had went through. So, and I think she felt if she had those sisters, she would be, mm-hmm. the puzzle piece would be, you know, be back together. But it was heartbreaking.
I wanted more closure.
Yeah.
I wanted that happy ending.
But I understand why she didn't reveal herself to them.
Yeah.
Because it might have had positive results, but more than likely it would have had negative results.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even know they were adopted.
Yeah. And Jamie put in here that she just feels like she was devastated for her, but she said it really showed her selflessness. Mm-hmm. Because she, like you said, it would have been more damage than good had she said anything. What did you think about how Clay fought for Leah at the end and declared his love for her?
I loved it.
I did too. I loved it.
I love how he climbed up on the table.
Right.
I know.
And he's yelling. Like, what does he say? Something about like Rangers never give up or something like that. And then the lady librarian in there, at first she's like, shh. But then she realizes what's happening.
Yeah.
And she keeps the library closed until he's done declaring his love for her. Right here. Look around, Leah. How many of these books tell of men doing heroic deeds for their ladies? I'm a ranger. Rangers climb cliffs. You don't have any cliffs in this here library, so I climbed this table. I didn't even need a rope. Oh, that's funny. And she's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Are you well? He's like, I am well. He says, I'm alive, Leah, alive. I want to live. I want to live a long, long life, and I want to live it with you. I thought it was really sweet. I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm guessing when I pull up Jamie, she's going to say the same thing. It was extremely cute and wonderful. All right, so now that we've made it to the end of the third book, this is what we've all been waiting for, where God puts the family back together again. Did you enjoy this series and how it ended, and would you recommend it to others?
Yes, yes, and yes.
same.
Yep. Yeah, I did. Jamie says the same thing. She loved it. So highly, highly recommend that series for everybody. We didn't go through everything. So there's a lot of other stuff that happens that you'll enjoy. Just we did have a few spoilers in there. All right, let's rate the elements of The Land Beneath Us. How about romance level?
There really wasn't a lot of like physical romance. The letters they were there.
But I put mocha.
Yeah,
it almost too. Could go espresso though.
Yeah.
Because they're right, they fell in love through
the letter.
Letters. Mm-hmm. What about the suspense? Jamie put espresso. I put latte. Because I felt like, especially when it comes to D-Day for him, he had the most suspense and action because his boots were on the ground the entire time. He was... Isn't that funny to think about, of the three brothers? I didn't think about it till just now. You know, one's on sea, one's in the air, and he's on the ground.
Yeah.
That it's Clay that's in the most dangerous position on D-Day, scaling the cliffs. Mm-hmm. But yet his two brothers were out there protecting, but he didn't know it. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was smart when she thought that through, wasn't she? What about action?
This one had a latte action, I feel like.
I did that, too. Well, also, what plays into that suspense was her attack scene, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finding out who he was.
Yes.
And they did have a lot of other...
I won't put
that in there, but there's a lot of other stuff going on with that character.
Yes.
Action was latte. Because there was a lot going on.
Yeah. Quite a bit. I was like getting really reading for him. How about the mystery?
You go mocha.
Yeah, I'd go mocha too. Drama?
You go mocha to a latte. I feel like there was a lot more drama in this one.
I would agree, just with her past, his past, and then what they're dealing with in the present as well. There is a lot of drama. How about inspiration?
I'm going to say a latte in this one.
I would agree. I'd say latte as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is your overall lasso rating of The Land Beneath Us by Sarah Sundin?
Three lassos.
Three lassos.
I did gave three, too. Do you know, Jamie, 2.5?
2.5.
She is just shocking me, okay, because she kept texting us about, oh, my word, oh, this is getting intense, oh, I'm loving it, oh, I feel so bad for Clay.
Right.
I thought she would be, like, all threes on it. But, I don't know.
Maybe
but
it's a time period.
It might be maybe that she's just more of a cowboy girl like me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I still thought it was really good.
Yeah, I did too.
So then what is your overall lasso rating of the entire series? It's called Sunrise at Normandy.
Three.
It's a very good series.
Yeah.
And very well written.
Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up when I looked at Jamie's. Her lasso rating of the book, The Land Beneath Us, it was a 3. Her overall rating for the series was a 2.5. I had 3s all the way through because I just thought it was
really
good.
Yeah, I did too. I had 3s all the way through.
Well, that is the end of our discussions on The Sunrise at Normandy by Sarah Sundin, and our interview with her will air next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.